Om सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं शान्ताकारं भुजगशयनं पद्मनाभं सुरेशं विश्वाधारं गगनसदृशं मेघवर्णं शुभांगं लक्ष्मीकांतं कमलं योगिहृद्यानगम्यं वन्दे विष्णुं भवभयहरं सर्वलोकैकनाथं सर्वलोकैकनाथं सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः। श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः।
हरि ओम्। I'm very excited and delighted to have an opportunity to cover this most beautiful bhakti text. But it is not only pure bhakti, there is a lot of wisdom in this text also. So it is a lot of knowledge, a lot of wisdom, but the underlying current is bhakti. And what is bhakti or devotion? We think bhakti is just crying for the Lord or singing his names or doing puja. That is good. That is very good, offering flowers. But the main essence of bhakti is the individual should disappear in the Lord. I, the ego, until that ego is there, bhakti is incomplete. So fulfillment of bhakti only happens when there is pure, unconditional love for the Lord. Not love with any particular desire. You know, what am I going to get out of this? Or we, Gurudev says in one of his saying, he says, bhakti is not beggary. It's not you go to the God asking for this or that or that. Bhakti is unconditional love and total identification with the Lord. How does that compare with Vedanta? In Vedanta also, we are taught that the ego should disappear and I alone should remain. You know, that is the essence of Vedanta. I means that one Brahman consciousness alone is real, everything else is unreal. So similarly, for a bhakta, Bhagwan alone is real. And whatever his Ishta Devta is, whether it's Sri Rama, Lord Shiva, Shri, in this text, it is Bhagwan Shri Krishna. That alone is the essence of the whole universe. And I am nothing. I am a humble servant. So that is the essence of this bhakti. Now, love is universal, right? Everybody loves himself. Why do I love myself? You know, everybody, in fact, if you look at a picture, group picture, if you have been on a trip, first thing you look, where am I? Right? Everybody does that. Why do we love ourselves? Because of the self, the Lord or consciousness within is my true nature. So we think we are loving this body or this individual, but true love is love for the self, God, who is within us. And everybody responds to love, even plants. When you sing to them, actually, if I sing to the plant, it will die. But a good singer, when he sings to the plant gets nourished. And even animals, you know, they say respond to song very well. Cows give milk better when music, soft music is played. In fact, there is one incident. Guruji was sitting and this lady came and sang a bhajan. And so Guruji said, so she asked Guruji, Swami Tejomaya Naji, how did you like my bhajan? So he says, you should sing on All India Radio. So she says, I should sing on All India Radio? He says, yeah, because then I can turn you off. Here I couldn't. I had to hear the whole bhajan. So the true bhakti is where there is a desireless relationship with the Lord. Even in Vedanta, they say that all desires, all vasana should be given up and I should remain abiding in the self. Similarly, in bhakti, there is no desire. Only desire is God and God alone. And it is very important to develop a relationship with God. Like Radha, you know, she developed, she saw him as a young man. Sudama saw him as a friend. Kamsa saw him as an enemy. In fact, the word Kamsaha means, who is he? That is what it means. So he kept thinking, who is he? Who is he? Who is this eighth son of Devaki? Devaki saw him as a son. In fact, in this book, in this blue book, there is a very beautiful story about how Krishna came back to Devaki. I would recommend everybody to read this book. If you don't have it, we can ship it to you. And it has very, very beautiful commentary by Swami Ishwarananda Ji. So one should develop a relationship of love. It can be that he is my master, he is my beloved, he is my father or mother, you know, if it is Mother Durga, or my friend, or some ladies develop a relationship as a child. You know, Krishna is my little baby Krishna or baby Ganesha, like that. So it is very important to develop a relationship. And for moksha, bhakti is very helpful. In fact, Shankaracharya Ji, one of the greatest Vedantin ever, he says in Vivek Chudamani, he says, moksha sadham samagram bhakti reva variyase. Bhakti reva gariyase. So bhakti is the highest means to reach moksha. Of course, we need knowledge with it. You cannot have only bhakti without knowledge, but they go together. And in this particular text, predominantly, the king, Kulashekhar, will talk about him, has used the theme of bhakti. And it is interesting, these bhaktas, great bhaktas, were not scholars. They were not great scholars. They hadn't gone to school. Ramakrishna Paramhans never went to school. Raman Maharishi dropped out at, you know, grade seven, yet he was a great, of course, Vedantin, but he was a great scholar, but these were not scholars in the traditional sense. Tapovan Maharaj says, I don't need to go to school because what are they going to teach me? He already knew it. Jesus, Moses, Mirabai, which school did they go to? But they were the greatest bhaktas. They were greatest devotees. So bhakti requires a complete surrender that I am nothing, Bhagwan, you are everything. So the ego has to be sacrificed, whether it's in the path of bhakti or in the path of knowledge, even in the path of karma yoga. Bhagwan, you are doing everything. You are working through me. I am nothing. So this king who composed this beautiful text, his name was Kulashekhar Alwar. Alwar means the one who is ruled by the Lord. So there were a group of saints in South India who were called Alwars. And these were Vaishnava saints. And Alwar means ruled by the Lord. And his name was Kulashekhara. He was the king of Kerala. He was very fluent in Malayalam and Sanskrit. And he composed this text in Sanskrit. But we'll talk about this text in the next shloka. But his attitude was never of a king. He said, I am a dasa, I am a servant of the Lord. And that was his attitude when he composed this text. And we'll see this message flowing throughout this text, his humility, his love for the Lord, his surrender. And this text is called Mukunda Mala. So why is the word Mukunda? Muku means liberation. Da means giver. So studying this text and what do they call it? Kirtanam. So Shravana and Kirtanam. You know, in the Navda Bhakti, Satish Bhai just covered in the Thursday class, Shravana and Kirtanam comes together. So I should first listen, then I should chant, I should sing, and share it with others. So Muku Da means that which gives liberation. Muku Da. Muku means liberation. Da means that which gives. So chanting this Mukunda. And why Mala? Because it is a, just as a mala has, say, 40 beautiful flowers in it, or it can have beautiful beads. Mm. So this beautiful text has 45 beautiful verses strung together in a mala beautifully by Raja Kulashekhara. So this is a brief introduction to bhakti and to the king. But we'll talk more about the king in the next shloka. Sharad, you have this book? Okay. Who can sing after me? Who can sing?
She has it.
Lata,
yeah, she
has it. Lata, you want to sing? You can unmute, please. Okay, we'll start with the first. Actually, it's not the first verse. It is introduction to this text. And it was composed by somebody after Mukunda Mala was composed by Raja Kulashekhara, then somebody else put this particular verse to introduce the text. So it is on page number 4 of the blue book. Ghushyate yasya nagare.
Ghushyate yasya nagare.
Ranga yatra dine dine.
Ranga yatra dine dine.
Tamaham shirasa vande.
Tamaham shirasa vande.
Rajanam kulashekharam.
Rajanam kulashekharam.
Please mute, we'll all chant together. Goshyate yasya nagari. Ranga
yatra dine dine.
Tamaham shirasa vande rajanam kulashekaram. So as I said, this particular verse was composed by somebody else to introduce this Mukunda Mala and to introduce the king, Raja Kulashekar. So this was an introductory verse. Ghushyate. Ghushyate means is announced. You know, in Hindi, there is a word called Ghoshana. To announce, is it there in Gujarati also or in other languages? Right? Goshana. Goshana means to announce. So Ghushyate means it is announced. Announced where Yasya Nagare, in his, whose city is this announced? So whose city? So he'll talk about whose city. Yasya means whose city. Ranga Yatra Dine Dine. Dine Dine means daily. Ranga Yatra means there was a Sri Ranga temple, and every day the king used to lead a procession to that temple and go through the various parts of the town. So the idea is that the Bhagwan should come to you. So they would stop at people's homes, people would offer homage. So that's how this happened, Dine Dine. And to that Raja, in whose city this daily yatra happens, Raja Nam Kulashekharam. To Raja Nam, Raja Kulashekhara, Tamaham Shirasa Vande. To that Raja, Shirasa means with my head, I bow down my head. Vande means I salute, I prostrate, I salute this great bhakta of the Lord who daily took out a procession to Sri Ranga. Now this tradition of a procession started in Puri, Jagannath Puri, where once a year a huge procession is taken out and it goes through the town and then goes to the temple. And the tradition was that the king used to himself sweep the floor, the road, along with others. And Kulashekhar continued that. And he used to every day himself take a broom and sweep the road where the yatra was going along with others. So the idea being that I am not the king, I am a dasa. There is only one king, and that is Sri Krishna. And Sri Ranga, as I said, was the shrine where they used to go. Now, why should it be done daily? Why do you think he used to do yatra daily? They say that our body has muscle memory. Whatever you do daily becomes a part of your life. Say you get up in the morning and meditate or do some prayer or do some chanting, that will become your life. But if you get up in the morning and first check the news or put on the TV or put on your phone, then that becomes your habit. So whatever we do daily becomes the habit. That's why they say when you get up in the morning, first thing is do some meditation, some prayer, some chanting. And also before you go to bed, do some reading, some so that your day should end sattvic and the day should start sattvic. And for a sadhaka, it is kartavya. It has to be done. Karvanuche. It must be done. So that is, my Gujarati is okay. So it must be done. And it is a kartavyam. It is has to be done. There is no, what do you call it? No, should I or should I not? I have to do this daily if I am a sadhaka. Now the question is that why is the king doing it? Because there is a saying in Hindi, yatha raja, tatha praja. Just as the king is, so are the followers. That's why in Bhagwan Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, yada yada acharati shreshta, tat tat eve taro janaha, sajat pramanam kurute, lokas tat anuvartate. Yat yat acharati shreshta. Just as a shreshta person, an older person or a superior person or a higher level person, just as he or she does, everybody follows. So that's why for parents, it's a very important duty that we be a role model to our children and teach them the right things. So that's why it is the king doing it, then it is an inspiration. And they were all Vaishnavas in his family. In his kingdom, the majority were Vaishnavas because they used to. And, you know, so the Vishnu followers are called Vaishnavas, Shiva followers are called Shaivas. Shakti followers, Devi followers are called Shaktas, like that. Surya followers are called Sauryas. Ganapati followers are called Ganapatyas. So same way, Vishnu followers or Sri Krishna followers are called Vaishnavas. Now the question comes, should we worship form or formless? There is always an argument, you know, I think form is better. I like to see Bhagwan Sri Krishna beautifully playing the flute. You know, it's so pretty he is. I don't know who is this formless. And Arjuna asks Bhagwan in the 12th chapter, you know, which one is better? And Bhagwan Sri Krishna says, Klesho adhiktaras tesham avyaktasakta chetasam avyaktahi gatir dukham deha vadbhira vapyate. So he says that for people like us who are strongly identified with the body, it is better to start with worshipping the form. And then as slowly your body identification lessens, then slowly you see the form as formless, as all pervading. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna is not only in my temple or not only in my puja room, but he is the all pervading reality. And that is the, so you take it from form to the formless. And bhakti is very useful to uplift the mind, to take the mind higher. And Gurudev gives a very beautiful explanation, Swami Chinmayananda. He says that if you jump from the ground, you can only jump a few, 1 or 2 seconds, and then you come back down, right? You elevate yourself, but on the other hand, if there is a rope and you hold on to the rope, then you can hang for a longer period of time. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna is like that rope. When you hold on to his feet, you can elevate for a longer period of time. And I, in my ignorance, I thought I can add to this example. I said, how about if you climb stairs? If you climb stairs from the ground floor to the second floor, then you are there. And that is the third level where Bhagwan and I are one. And then there is no climbing. Then I am all the time there. Then there is no at holding on the rope. At least you can get tired, but here you don't. So the idea is that the mind should be detached from the lower and attached to the higher. Then he says, Tamaham Shirasa Vande. I bow down to the king. So in our tradition, we meet everybody with namaskar. You know, we do namaskar like that. Namaskar means namaste. Namaste means I prostrate to you. Why? Because I recognize the God in you. That's why I do namaskar. So that's why he says, Tamaham Shirasa Vande. I prostrate to that Raja Kulashekhar, who was the very embodiment of bhakti, who was the embodiment of knowledge and true love for Bhagwan Sri Krishna. Now, the beauty of this text is that the chanting is very charming and very simple. There is no complicated, you know, Upanishadic type chanting. And the Sanskrit also, those who are studying Sanskrit will understand this. Sanskrit is very simple. It's not very complicated. It's very easy to understand. So that shows that one doesn't have to have great scholarliness to have a great text. So this is the first shloka of this. Dushyate yasya nagare. Now we will talk about the beauty of the Lord. So, who has the text? Who would like to repeat? Marsha Ben, you want to do it?
Vande Mukundam Aravinda Dalayataksham.
Vande Mukundam Aravinda Layataksham.
Kunde Dushanka Dashanam Shishugopavesham.
Kunde Dushanka Dasham.
Dashanam
Shugopavan Vesham.
Indradi Deva Gana Vandita Pada Peetham.
Indradi Deva Gana Vandita Pada Peetham.
Vrindavanalayamaham Vasudeva Sunum.
Vrindavanalayamaham Vasudeva Sunam.
You can please mute. We'll all chant together.
Vande Mukundam Aravinda Dalayataksham. Kundendu Dankadashanam Shishugopavesham. Indradi Deva Gana Vandita Pada Peetham. Vrindavanalayam Sudeva Sunam.
So here, Raja Kulashekhar is starting his chanting, his text called Mukundamala. And what he is doing, he's Vande. he is bowing down. So why is he bowing down? So we'll talk about that. So he says, Vande Mukundam. Mukundam means Bhagavan Shri Krishna. We already talked about the meaning of Mukundam. Aravinda Dalayata Aksham. Arvinda Dala means the collection of lotus leaves. Lotus leaves or lotus petals. Dalayata. Dala, Arvinda, Dala, Ayata. Ayata means wide. He has beautiful aksham. Ayata, aksham. He has beautiful wide eyes that are like lotus petals. You know, beautiful eyes. So he says, I worship, I bow down to Bhagavan Shri Krishna, who has beautiful eyes like a lotus. And then how about his teeth? So what he's doing from head to toe, he is describing parts of Bhagwan, and that's what we see in many of the bhakti texts, where they beautifully describe how Sri Rama is with a mukut, and then his beautiful face, and then his body, and then his arms are long, you know, in that, the one that Guruji sings, Sri Rama Chandra Kripalu Bhajman, how beautifully his form is described, and he's holding the bow and arrow. So here he is describing his teeth. So his teeth, dashanam, dashanam means the one that bites. They are. He gives three examples. Kunda, Indu, Shankha. Kunda means jasmine. So beautiful white, his teeth are like jasmine. Indu means moon and Shankha means conch. So his teeth are white like jasmine, like the moon, beautiful like the moon, or white like the conch. So beautiful white teeth he has. And how does he remember? He does not remember Bhagwan as giving the message of Gita or anything like that. Shishu Gopavesham. I remember him as Shishu Gopavesham. Shishu Gopa means he is like the son of cowherd. Gopa is cowherd. Shishu means son. Vesha means, so I remember Bhagwan Shri Krishna as that little cowherd boy who used to go to, you know, take the cows to the forest. And then before he went to Mathura, he played the flute and all. So I remember him as Shishu Gopa Vesham. But even though I remember him as a little child, but he was not an ordinary child. Indra Adi Deva Gana Vandita Pada Peetham. So his feet are Vandita, are worshipped, are praised by Indra Adi Deva Gana. So Indra and all the Devas, Varun Devta, Vayu Devta, you know, all the Devtas, Marut and all the Devas, all worshipped him. And everybody knows the story of, you know, when he lifted Govardhan Parvat, and how Indra's arrogance was reduced and he became humble. So that's what he says. He is the supreme lord of the universe. He's not just an ordinary cowherd boy, but he is the lord of the universe. And Indra and other devas also worship him. And where does he live? Vrindavan. That's where he grew up. And then later on, he went to Mathura, where he defeated Kamsa, and then he made the kingdom of Dwarka. But he grew up in Vrindavan, what we call Gokul. And Vrindavan was the forest where he used to take the cows and where he played the flute. Alayam. Alayam means abode. So Vrindavan, Alayam. And now here comes Aham. Aham connects with the first word, Aham Vande. I bow down to Shri Krishna, who has all these qualities. And the last one is Vasudeva Sunum. So his father's name was Vasudev. Sunum means he's the son. And son of Vasudev is called Vasudeva. Now, why the Vande? And I was listening to one of the commentaries. And it says that when we get in a plane, say when you climb in a plane, right? What does the air hostess first say? There are six exits on this plane, one in front, two in the middle, two in the side, and then one in the back. So she will first show us the exit, you know, in case of an emergency, the, you know, the what to do and all. So the exit. But in plane, they show us exit. But in life, we don't. We don't know what is the exit. Hum aa to gaye hain, but we don't know how to get out of this life. So Bhagwan Shri Krishna is the exit to get out of this world of bondage. I am caught in this world and only the Lord can release me. So how do I exit out of this cycle of birth and death? You know, we have come here, but I don't know. And I keep again and again, punarapi jananam, punarapi mananam, maranam, how to get out of that? So they say, do that, Bhagwan Shri Krishna, when you offer your salutations, then you get freed from this cycle of birth and death. And the form Kulashekhar is describing, because then it is easy for us to focus. So in your mind, you can close your eyes and you can visualize Bhagwan Shri Krishna with the beautiful eyes, you know, with the flute in his hand, you know, these marble, beautiful murtis we get from Jaipur. And you can visualize how he's standing and his yellow clothes and, you know, a little soft smile on his face. And whoever our Ishta Devta, if it's Shri, you know, Lord Shiva, he's sitting in meditation, you know, very calm, peaceful, Shri Rama with the bow and arrow. So knowing the form helps us to focus on the Lord's form. And the beauty of the Lord's form is described in it. But Lord is not only beauty, he's combination of beauty plus power. Because he says he's omniscient, omnipotent. Omnipresent, omnipotent means there is nothing. You know, in a Bal Vihar, we say, my God is so great, so strong and so mighty. There is nothing my God cannot do. So God is a combination of beauty and power. And Gurudev calls that reverence. Reverence is when I love God and with the intellect, I know who God is. So this feeling that comes is reverence. It is even more than love. It is more than devotion. It is love with recognition of the Lord's greatness. So surrender. And that is the emotion one should have towards God. Now, why does he praise the eyes? So if we think about it, if we go to the temple and you see God looking at you, or some of these pictures they make, where wherever part of the room you go, the eyes are looking at you. So if you look into God's eyes, that is darshan. If God is looking up somewhere, I'll say, Hare kya darshan hua? You know, God didn't even look at me. So you want to see God's eyes. You want to connect with God's eyes. You want to connect with him eye to eye. That's why in some of the South Indian temples where it is very dark, you know, the sanctum, sanctorum is kept completely dark. And when you go there, the pujari will take a lamp and light up the Lord. The idea is that you should see Lord's eyes and your eyes together. So example is, suppose you have borrowed $1,000 from somebody and you haven't returned it, right? And you get invited to a party where the host is your friend and you know that guy is going to be there, but you don't have $1,000 to give him. So what do? You try to avoid looking into his eyes. You know, if you see him and he doesn't see you, that's okay. Or if he sees you and you don't see him, that is also okay. But if you see him and he sees you eye to eye, then you are stuck. Then he will say, where's my money, Nikalo? So similarly, the idea is that one should connect with the Lord's eyes.
So there's in the look at him.
Yeah, look in the eyes of the Lord and then his beautiful teeth and his beautiful feet, all that. Then Vrindavan was the place where he grew up. Vrinda also means Tulsi. I actually didn't know that, but when I was reading, Vrinda is a name for Tulsi. So that's why Tulsi is connected with Bhagwan Shri Krishna. So Shri Krishna Bhaktas always worship Tulsi because she is connected with Bhagwan Shri Krishna. And so that is pretty much this particular shloka.
Sunum is what?
Vasudeva Sunum is the sun. He is the son of Vasudeva. Yeah. So Vasudeva, and we talked about, he grew up and he, Vasudeva and Devaki, but then he was brought up by Nand Baba and Mother Yashoda. So that was, so now we'll talk about the name of the Lord. So the person says, I should remember the Lord and I should cry for the Lord. Hansaben, you have this book? Okay, page number 10. Shri Vallabheti Varadeti Daya Pareti.
Shri Vallabheti Varadeti Daya Pareti.
Bhakta Priyeti Bhavaluntan Kovideti.
Bhakta Priyeti Bhavaluntan Kovideti.
Natheti Nagashayaneti Jagannivaseti.
Natheti Nagashayaneti Jagannivase.
Alapanam Pratipadam Kurumam Mukunda.
Alapanam Pratipadam Kurumam Mukunda.
You can mute, we'll all chant together. Shri Vallabheti Varadeti Daya Pareti Bhakta Priyeti Bhavalunthan Kovideti Natheti Nagashayaneti Jagannivaseti Alapanam Pratipadam Kurumam. So he says, Alapanam Pratipadam Kuru Mam Mukunda. Oh Mukunda, oh Krishna. Alapanam Pratipadam Kuru. The last line. Alapanam means may I cry. Pratipadam means at every step, constantly may I cry for you. He said, you want to cry for the Lord? I thought you should be happy. He said, no, I want to cry. Pratipadam Kuru Mam Mukunda. Oh Bhagwan Shri Krishna, please make sure I constantly cry for you. So he said, why do you want to cry? So we'll talk about that. He says, but I want to cry and remember all your beautiful names. See, because name and form is associated, right? Like we say camel, immediately you think of camel. You say elephant, you remember elephant form. It immediately comes. So here, very beautiful names of Bhagwan Shri Krishna are chanted by Raja Kulashekara. Shri Vallabha iti. Iti means in this way, Shri Vallabha. Shri is Lakshmi ji. So Lakshmi Vallabha means the Lord of Lakshmi, the consort of Lakshmi, the one who is with Lakshmi all the time. Then Varadeti. Vara means one who gives boons. Vara also means the supreme, the highest. Vara. You know, like they say, Raghu Vara. He's the highest of the Raghu dynasty. So Varadeti means one who gives us boons. Vara is also means he is the highest. Daya para iti. Para means the supreme daya he has for us. Supreme love, highest compassion. Actually, daya is even more than compassion. Compassion is, of course, is there. But daya is where the Lord's heart melts. See, the Lord's heart is like butter. It just melts. Butter, you have to heat it up. But Lord, you don't have to even heat. You just remember the Lord and his heart melts. So that's why he says, he's Daya Para. He's the highest Daya. And Bhakta Priya, he is the delight of all the devotees. So one who remembers Bhagwan is delighted and is beloved of all devotees. So that's why they say one should have a relationship of love with God, not a relationship of fear. Bhakta priyeti bhavaluntana kovideti. Kovid means he's an expert. In fact, in Hindi, if you take the exams, I remember growing up in Bombay, growing up, my mother used to make sure. So COVID was considered a very high exam. So she made me study up to COVID. Because I used to go to an English school. She said, I want to not forget Hindi. So I actually studied up to COVID Hindi on my side. So COVID means one who is expert. Bhava Luntan. Bhava means to be, being. So bhava means this cycle of birth and death. That I'm going through this bhava sagar mein doob gaya. You know, they say that meri naav doob gayi, mujhe aake bachao, and all. There are all these bhajan. So bhava means the bhava sagar. Luntan means one who can destroy. So Bhagwan Shri Krishna is the expert in destroying this bhava sagar, taking me out of this bhava sagar. And Natha iti. Iti means in this way I remember you as the Lord. Natha. Nagashayana. Nagashayana means sleeping on the snake. You know, the thousand who did Adi Shesh. They said, in fact, Bhagwan Vishnu was the first one who ever slept on waterbed. Nobody had waterbed before him. So all the rest, because he slept on that Kshira Sagar, the water milk. So that's why he slept on the waterbed where the snake was he was sleeping on the snake, and the thousand-hooded snake was looking at him. And Jagan Nivasa, Jagat Nivasa means he lives in the world and the world is in him. We'll talk about that. Jagan Nivasa iti alapanam pratipadam. Oh Lord Bhagwan Shri Krishna, may I cry out to you with all these names and many other names. You know, there are 1,000 names. So why should we cry? So they say that tears come out when we are sad, also when we are happy. You know, when you're very, very happy, then tears come out, or when your heart is filled with joy or with bhakti heart. But the difference is that the tears of sorrow are warm and the tears of joy are cold. Actually, I didn't know that, but I heard that. That tears of sorrow are warm and tears of joy are cold. So we should always carry a thermometer and check, okay, am I crying out of joy or out of sorrow? So it's very important.
No.
So why should we cry for the Lord? You say God is everywhere. You know, why should I cry? And why should I cry loud? He's with me. Why should I cry for him? Why should I? Or kids say, why should I go to the temple? God is everywhere. I can sleep in my bed and I can still be with God. No, God is everywhere. But to find him, you have to either go within or go to a temple. Why? Because Gurudev says it very beautifully. He says the cow's milk is everywhere in the cow. But if you want to get the milk, where do you get it? In the udder, right? You pull on the udder and you will get the milk. If you pull on the tail, you will get something else. So please don't do that. So the idea is that the milk comes only from the udder. Same way, if you want to contact the US government, say you want a big contract. Nowadays, of course, they do everything online. But in the olden days, you had to actually fly. Even now for big meetings, you have to fly to Washington, D.C. and make an appointment with the Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense, or even in California. California is all the way from, you know, San Diego to the border of Washington. But if you want a contract, you have to go to Sacramento. So similarly, Bhagwan, if you want to find him, it either in the temple or in your heart. And then name is a magic tool that lifts us higher to his state. Because when you chant the name, you immediately remember, like you say Shri Krishna, and immediately the form comes to your mind. So it lifts your mind higher, our mind, which is attached to all these lower things. The way to lift it is chanting the name of the Lord. There's a very beautiful story I heard, very nice. So it was Sri Ramdas. You know, Ramdas was a very famous saint, Samarth Ramdas. Right. But before he had become famous, he had just taken sannyas and he was just starting his spiritual journey, and nobody knew him at that time. And it so happened that there was going to be a special festival of Sri Rama in a different town, and he had to take the train, but he had no money. He was a sannyasi. So he said, "Theek hai, if Ram wants me to come, you know, he will." So he gets on the train without a ticket. And the ticket checker comes, ticket, ticket, ticket. Everybody has a ticket except Ramdas. So he says, "Hey, get down." So the next station comes, he makes him get down. And he said, "Either I'm going to fine you or put you in jail. How can you travel without a ticket?" So Ramdas gets down from the train. And the inspector says, "You stay on this platform till I come back. You know, I have to go somewhere. I'll be back. You stay here. Don't move." So Ramdas sits down on the platform right there. And it's a very dirty station. It's a small village. And the station is smelly. And there is a bathroom nearby. And he says, "You sit right here. Don't move." And the inspector goes. It was actually his house was in that village. So he said, "I'll go home, have dinner, and come back and then deal with this guy." So he goes home, meets his wife and children. He hasn't seen them. So he forgets about Ramdas and he goes to sleep. Now Ramdas is sitting here in this stinky, you know, platform with horrible smell, and he can't move because he's scared. So he sits down and starts chanting the name of Ram, Shri Ram, Shri Ram, Jai Jai Ram, like that. And his mind gets so quiet, he goes into deep samadhi because he was trying to escape that smell. So he goes into samadhi and he stays like that till the morning without moving, just in deep samadhi. He has never had that kind of experience. He was beginning of his spiritual journey. And in the morning, when the conductor TT comes to the station, he said, "Oh God, I forgot, you know, this poor guy, he has been here all night." And he apologizes. He says, "I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. You know, I left you here all night in this stinky platform." He says, "Why are you sorry? I am thankful to you. Because of you, I was able to stay here and remember the Lord and go into samadhi. So this is a great experience I had." So that is the difference between the saints and us. You know, for us, we would be looking at the smell or complaining, but they are able to find the Lord anywhere. Then he says, Shri Vallabheti. He's the Lord of Shri. He's the consort of Lakshmi. Lakshmi, we think as wealth, but it is more than wealth. It is prosperity. What do you mean prosperity? Wealth is when I keep it. Prosperity is when I share. So I keep what I need, but extra, it should be shared. Then only the wealth, then only Lakshmi comes. Lakshmi, of course, one is that it means the inner wealth, but even the outer wealth, it only is wealth when it is shared. Recently at Jayashree's house, we heard that Swamiji speak. And he said, money, if you leave it in the bank, it will stay here. But if you share it with others, it will give you punya, which you can take. Even after death, you can carry it. So that's why it has to be distributed, shared, and to the best of my ability. Like in the body, if you eat the food and the intestine says, "I'm going to keep the food, I'm not going to share it," the person will get sick, right? So the intestine will digest the food and distribute it to the whole body through the bloodstream. So that is called Vallabheti. And Varadeti, we already talked about, the supreme one who gives us the great boons. Daya Pareti, I talked about one whose heart melts like butter. And Natha. Natha means he is the Lord of this universe. And Bhakta Priya, he is the dearest to the devotee. That's why they say devotee wants God and God alone, and nothing else except God. Bhava Luntana Kovideti. We talked about that. If you want to get out of this cycle of birth and death, bhakti is the best path. And Naga Shayana, he sleeps on the thousand-headed snake. What does the thousand-headed snake represent? Our mind. Our mind has thousand thoughts running all over, here and there. Even when we sit for puja or we sit for meditation, the mind doesn't stay, but the Adishesha, the Naga, the thousand-petaled, thousand-hooded snake, all his thousand heads are only looking at Sri Vishnu. They're not looking anywhere else. So that is how our mind should be, that all the thousand aspects of our mind should be looking at Bhagwan, not looking here and there. Mm-hmm. And that's why it is said Adi Shesha, Sheshnaga came as Lakshman. When Vishnu Bhagwan came as Sri Rama, he came as Lakshman. And it is interesting, Hanumanji came later, Sitaji came later, but Lakshman was always with Bhagwan, ever from since birth till Bhagwan left his body. Lakshman was always with Bhagwan. He never left him, even when he went to the forest 14 years. So because Lakshmana is the avatara of Sheshnaga. And it is said to be the reflection of consciousness. Just as in my mind, consciousness is reflected, what we call as Chidabhasa. And that Chidabhasa never leaves us until death. Then the reflection of consciousness goes back to the self. So similarly,
until
the death of the ego. Yes, it can also happen at the death of the ego. The Chidabhasa will still be there because the person is alive, but his ego won't manifest. So then he becomes one with Brahman, one with God, Aham Brahmasmi. So that is the meaning of that. Naga Shayaneti and Jagat Nivasa Iti. He is Nivasa means staying, Jagat means in the world. Iti, may I remember you as the one who abides in the world. So what does he mean by abiding in the world or Jagat Nivas? Jagat Nivas has two meanings. One is he abides in the world, and second is the world abides in him. See, that's why in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan says, I am in everything, in the mountains, I am Everest. Among the people, I am the king. Among animals, I am the lion. Among rivers, I am Ganga, and so on. So in the 10th chapter, Bhagavan says, I am in all. Mm-hmm. And then in the 11th chapter, Bhagavan says, they are all in me. He shows Arjuna the whole universe, all the 14 worlds, past, present, future. He even shows him the future. He shows him the past. Everything is in me. So Jagat Nivas means one who abides in the world and in whom the world abides. So he says, may I remember you, Lord. So that's what it says, that when you hear about the Lord's glories, then it is important to share and important to sing this on your own. We should try and listen to read this book and sing these beautiful glories of Bhagwan Shri Krishna. You can get it on YouTube. And if you want the book, you know, anybody doesn't have, you can pick it up from Neeru in the office, or we can send it to you. So it is very important to be able to chant the name of Bhagwan Shri Krishna or any or Ishta Devta. So I'll end here. We have done three, we have done the introduction and two more shlokas. Yeah, so anybody has any questions or comments? We have 5 minutes. Yeah, Sharad.
Of the 12 alvas during this bhakti movement, is there any significance as to why the 7th alva, came up with this?
No, they were all great. They were all great saints. They were all great saints. But in this particular text, they are remembering
most of their works is in Tamil.
In Tamil, yes.
Right.
But this one, he composed it in Sanskrit, Kulashekhar, and then he had two friends who were Sanskrit scholars who helped him with the poetry. But the composition is his. So they were all great. Like the Vaishnavites are called Alvars. And the Shaivites are called Naimbiars.
Naimbiars.
So they are just great saints.
And then the other question is, during this bhakti movement, you know, we've discussed Advaita, Vishishta Dvaita, and you know, Dvaita. So is this primarily this text? Is it Vishishta Dvaita?
No, it is Dvaita.
Dvaita also?
It is Dvaita.
Bhakti is
Dvaita. But his level of bhakti is so high that he is not away from the Lord, as you will see in the subsequent text. But bhakti is pure Dvaita. And in fact, a lot of bhaktas don't want to become one with the Lord. They say even life after, you will see in subsequent texts, he says, I don't want to be one with you. I don't want Vedanta. He says that. He says, Dvandvam Advandva Heto. He says, I do not worship you to get out of duality. I want to remain separate from you. But bhave, bhave, every life after life, may I never forget you. So he wants to remain separate, but he wants to always remember the Lord as a servant, as my master, you know, so different relationships. So bhakti is pure Dvaitam, but very high level of Dvaitam, like the one who just came to Jayashree's house. You know, they are Dvaitas. They are from Udipi.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments?
This is really a small thing. You know, in the English translation, it says exits, but they meant exit. I'm probably getting it mixed up because you were talking about exits, but it means it should have been, it exists, right?
I don't know which page.
In the last line of the translation on page 11. Omukunda, kindly make me engage. And then you go down to the very end. It says universe exits.
Exists.
It exists. I thought it must be, but you were talking about exits. So I thought,
I was talking about exits.
Misreading this somehow. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But in this particular, it is exists.
Yeah. Okay. I thought so.
Comment.
I have a question. What temple or what murti that exists in Kerala that this Sri Rajan Krishna may be reflecting off?
Was Sri Krishna, one of the manifestations of Vishnu, but a dark murti.
Sri Ranga temple is there.
Sri Ranga temple is there in very south. Famous. It is Sri Krishna's, but it is a darker version in the south.
Right.
Of the idols.
Exactly. Do you know where exactly it is located? It is near in Kerala?
Tiruchirappalli.
Uh-huh.
Tiruchirappalli is the town in Kerala. It is very close to that. Let's it's see. Called nice. Sri Ranga
nice temple.
Yeah.
I see.
So okay. It is in Kerala, yeah. But the town is the big city is Tiruchirappalli.
Tiruchirappalli, okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Satish bhai, we have 1 minute. You want to add anything? How are you feeling?
No, I'm doing good. Thank you. No, I think this is very touching, the bhakti part, of course, that is always it's very close to everybody, you know, and this is something that anyone can do,
right?
Yeah, no qualification.
You don't need to be a PhD.
You don't need to be a scholar for this. So
right. Because love is universal. Love is
exactly
universal. Right. Right. Yeah, and the chanting of this is very beautiful. It's a little difficult because every shloka, the meter changes. So even
right.
I have to pay attention. So I listen to, you know, and I have been listening to this before. So it's very beautiful.
It is.
You should go on YouTube and listen to the chanting of this.
Yes. Yeah.
Try to sing with them.
So this, you know, one word that I'm very close to, and that is Karuna.
Yes.
It's, you know, when I see the statue, it automatically brings Karuna in me. You know, that is what they're talking about, the you know, the crying for the Lord. Right. I think that's what that is.
Yes, yes.
Am I wrong?
Right. Crying. Yeah, karuna means compassion, but here where I'm crying, where I want to become one with God. You know, yes. that separation is unbearable for the devotee.
Right.
So, you know, they say, when will I become one with you? So.
Right.
So what you are looking for is karunya.
Karunya,
means
right.
Compassion. Yeah. Karunya means the feeling of helplessness.
Right.
Yeah. So that
and
is,
karuna is a Gujarati word.
It's a good Gujarati word. Okay. So
it came from
Okay. Karunya. Yeah. But in Sanskrit, right.
Karunya. Sanskrit is karunya. Right. Yeah. So, but it's so overwhelming. It just automatically comes.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So.
Thank you. Sarat, anything you want to add?
No, I just, Lata Bena brought up the Sri Ranga temple. And I was just kind of looking at it last couple of days. And you can't really tell the detail as you blow it up. But there's all these hundreds of deities on the temple. Are they just deities of Lord Krishna? Or what do they represent, all the different deities? And they're all painted in different colors.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to look it up. I'm not sure.
Or if anybody else knows.
But the main deity was Sri Krishna at this temple. Others maybe, they probably are other deities, I would guess. That would be my guess. Because in the Sanctum Sanctorum, they have the main deity and then all the others are not Sri Krishna. Probably. They may be either different avatars of Vishnu or they could be other deities. Okay, we'll end here. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhag Bhavet Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
For giving me this opportunity.
Yeah. Thank you.
So thankful last night when I was preparing. So nice. Such a
thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Beautifully done.
Thank you.